Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by
the Chemo Girls.
We are coming back at you, as always, from Swampland here in South Georgia. And, Lucy, it seems to me like, I know we don't really have a fall here, but fall's kind of doing a wink and a nod at us right now.
Oh, it's feeling very much a little bit of a reprieve from the stinking hot that we got this summer, right?
It is, and that's the way we judge it. Is it oppressively hot, or can you breathe outside? If you can breathe, it's fall or spring.
That's right.
And we can breathe outside right now, so we really, really love that. Today, we're coming to you with an interview that really I'm just delighted about.
That's right.
This is a lovely woman that we met at the National Women's Survivor Conference in Nashville, Tennessee this year, and her name is Susan Bratton. She is the founder and CEO of Meals to Heal. This is a patient and caregiver-focused cancer nutrition service, which provides home delivery of fresh, customized meals and evidence-based cancer nutrition information and professional resources for the cancer patient and their caregivers. Susan started Meals to Heal after losing a friend to brain cancer. And through her friend's illness, she learned of the unmet but essential nutritional needs of cancer patients. She ended up leaving her 20-year career on Wall Street in 2011 to start Meals to Heal, and has since that time become a passionate and tireless advocate for cancer patients receiving proper nutrition and nutritional support during treatment, for the health system to make proper nutrition an integral part of cancer care delivery in the United States. Susan speaks nationally on the role of proper nutrition in the cancer patient at industry association meetings, as well as advocacy group summits and other oncology meetings. Her role in oncology extends beyond Meals to Heal, and speaking on the role of nutrition to volunteer work at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in pediatrics, and as a runner for Fred's team to raise money for research at Memorial Sloan Kettering. Susan earned a BA from Duke University and an MBA from the University of Virginia's Darden Graduate School of Business. Sister, that is a serious, serious accomplishment with your schooling and with your career path and the choices that you made in response to your friend's struggle with cancer. Miss Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be joining you ladies today.
It is a pleasure, Susan, and it was a delight to meet you in Nashville. You're just a beautiful woman inside and out, and Sharon and I have been very excited about being able to interview you today, and I guess my first question is, what in the world happened between Wall Street and nutrition?
Hello.
What was that pivotal moment that you put down your briefcase and picked up your wooden spoon?
Right. Well, as you mentioned in the bio, I lost a friend to a brain tumor, and I've always been very interested in nutrition, and I've been a vegetarian for 32 years, and so I've kind of walked the walk when it comes to nutrition. Not that everybody has to be a vegetarian, I'm not saying that, but I've just been hyper focused on nutrition. And during my friend's illness and his treatment, I became really concerned with the fact that he wasn't getting proper nutrition, nor was he getting proper nutrition guidance from the medical community, and it just didn't make any sense to me that they were telling him to eat whatever he wanted and that nutrition didn't matter, when in fact there's actually great, very solid scientific evidence that shows that both clinical and quality of life outcomes improve when cancer patients get proper nutrition and nutritional counseling.
Right.
That's not to say that the right food is going to cure your cancer, because that's really not true. There's no evidence of that. But what there is great evidence of is that you'll have better response to treatment, fewer, less severe treatment side effects, and you'll feel better. And I mean, we know, even if you don't have cancer, you know when you're eating right, you just feel better.
Right.
And so that was kind of a life-changing moment for me, watching my friend suffer, and I just felt like we have to do something about this. Somebody's got to make a difference. Somebody's got to make proper nutrition easy to find and to receive in our cancer care delivery system, especially if the medical community doesn't have the resources to do it, then somebody else has got to do it. And so I just decided, well, I've had a great career, but it's time to do something else, and it's time to help people like my friend Eric and his mom and dad and brother. So I guess I jumped off the high dive looking down.
I tell you, I just applaud you for it. And what's interesting to me is here, you know, this is the advice being given to someone. You know, we culturally in the United States, we see such a difference in, you know, say New York and South Georgia, right? You expect, honestly, that you're going to get better care, better answers, that sort of thing in New York. And yet that poor fella's getting the exact same advice that I received. You know, just calories, honey, just eat calories. If you live on cheesecake, I don't care. You just have to keep your weight up and your strength up. Really poor advice.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling. But I guess, you know, part of, I think, and I thought a lot about this and why this is happening, and part of it is, you know, oncologists and the medical providers are so focused on treatment. They don't take very much nutrition during medical school, so it's not really an area of their expertise, and they're trained to either radiate, give chemotherapy, or do surgery, and that's what they're trained to do. So they really just don't focus on it. And then nurses kind of have what they need to do. And while many medical centers have dietitians, they just aren't really utilized because it still isn't an integral part of our cancer care delivery. And this is one of the things that I actually speak about nationally is that, you know, just like chemotherapy and radiation and surgery are central components of cancer care delivery, so should nutrition be. And so when a patient comes in and sits down with an oncologist or an oncology care delivery team, an oncology dietitian should be part of that team. And so that the patient knows early on that nutrition is important, and they know that there's a resource. And even if the nutritionist or dietitian at the health center is so swamped with inpatients, for example, which is a common issue, at least they know that it's important, and they can be pointed in the right direction of where there are resources to help them with their nutrition. And it just needs to be just like you've got a nurse and a doctor on the team and a physical therapist for oncology rehab, you need to have a dietitian. It just needs to be one of the people that's part of your care delivery team.
Mm-hmm. So how much ground are you making with your presentations and the meetings that you're doing with your oncology groups? Are you able to, you know, plant those seeds of nutritional wisdom with our medical professions?
I mean, yes, I've had some great conversations with people, and one of the great things is that that it is becoming more important in our care delivery system.
Right.
The American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer has now mandated, not because of a result of me, don't let me, that isn't what I'm saying, but
no.
They have mandated now that by 2014, oncology nutrition must be offered to patients. So it must be accessible at any of their Commission on Cancer accredited facilities, and that's about 80% of the facilities in the United States. So it is starting to become a more important thing that the medical community is focusing on. That doesn't mean to say, however, that we're going to have our oncologists and our physicians recommending it necessarily. We still have a lot of work to do there, but I think it's important that they are mandating that it has to be available. So once it's available, then it's a lot easier for an oncologist or an oncology nurse to say, hey, you know what? we have resources here. So I think the first step is being taken, and I think that's really positive. And the other thing that's happening is there are medical schools are increasingly offering more nutrition classes, and I think that's something that over time will have an impact as well.
That's what I was thinking about. You know, I was thinking, I think it's necessary, absolutely, that you are speaking with these doctors who are already in practice. And I think you're going to have to get to the doctors in training, because as much as it, you know, has bothered me that the doctors didn't know, I think these people go into their professions wanting to help. I don't think that they're keeping information from patients. I think it's just an area that they don't receive information in school.
That's exactly right.
I think that is definitely the place to begin. That's fantastic.
They definitely, I mean, they become doctors because they want to help people. It's just their training doesn't necessarily encompass very much in the way of nutrition. So it's hard to expect that they would be recommending it when it's not an area of expertise. They're trained in chemotherapy, radiation oncology, or surgical oncology, and not really oncology nutrition.
Right.
So one step at a time, I think.
That's right. That's right. Well, Susan, what is it that defines a proper nutrition? What's that mean?
So proper nutrition is really the right amount of calories as well as a balance of micro and macronutrients. But it's patient dependent. So each patient is going to have a different amount of calories that they require. And while there's a baseline of micro and macronutrients that everyone needs, a patient can have specific nutritional deficiencies, which would mean that they will need to have more of some sort of nutrient for which they are deficient. So the answer is it kind of depends. But the baseline is a balance of micro and macronutrients. I always like to say, I think a great diet and what we base at Meals to Heal, what our the fundamental diet under in our program is based on the fundamentals of the Mediterranean diet. And that's really, that's lean proteins, it's whole grains, legumes, seeds, nuts, 2 to 3 servings of fish per day, minimal amounts of animal protein, and healthy fats versus the unhealthy fats, so the olive oils and healthy fats like that.
Right.
And that's a great fundamental kind of basic diet to stick to, because it's been proven actually to offer preventative benefits with respect to heart disease, diabetes, and also cancer. So it's great for recurrence prevention as well.
Yeah, and that's what I was telling Lucy before we even started the show, that, you know, to me this is kind of a two-pronged thing. You have nutrition during treatment as well as post-treatment, you know, and maintenance, because you want your body to be an environment that is not begging cancer to come back, you know. And so that's a whole nother aspect and component to the nutrition. So with all this being said about nutrition, how can patients get the proper nutrition?
So I think the first thing is that's really important is I recommend that every patient have at least one consultation with an oncology dietitian. And the American Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics has a credential called the CSO. It stands for Certified Specialist in Oncology. Those registered dietitians that hold the CSO credential have 2,000 hours, clinical hours, in oncology nutrition, as well as they've passed a national certification examination on oncology nutrition. They're really who you want to talk to, if at all possible. And you can find them a couple of ways. Probably the easiest way is to go to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics website, and that's and.org. And they actually have a lookup function where you can type in your zip code and you can find a dietitian that has an oncology credential, the CSO credential.
Excellent.
So I think first and foremost is talk to an oncology dietitian. If for some reason the patient or the caregiver is in a location that doesn't have an oncology dietitian, but there's a registered dietitian, they're very good as well. See a dietitian, talk to them about your specific needs, what your nutritional needs are. If you have specific deficiencies, they might work with you to find if you have deficiencies. But if you have specific types of cancer, you will, like, for example, with pancreatic cancer, there are specific nutritional deficiencies that these patients have. You can work with the dietitian, and they can provide direction. You can always, our website has great resources on nutrition as well, and that's meals-2-heal.com. We have a lot of resources as well. So the first thing is see a dietitian. The second thing is find sources of information that are based on the evidence-based standard. And so our website is really good for that. The American Institute for Cancer Research, AICR.org, also has great research. I really can't stress enough that it's important to find evidence and research that's based on this evidence-based standard. And basically what that means is that it's been conducted under a very rigorous scientific method. There's a lot of misinformation out there on the internet, fad diets and crazy things like that. And you know, where do we all go? I mean, anytime I have a question, where do I go? I go to the internet. If you're diagnosed with something, you have... you go to the internet for information. There's a lot of misinformation. So I always say to people, first talk to a dietitian, and second, you know, definitely try to find information, but make sure it adheres to the evidence-based standard. There are also some great books out there that you can look at that are written by physicians and oncology dietitians. So I think that those are kind of the two things I would recommend, information and speaking with an oncology dietitian.
Excellent. That's wonderful information. In addition to finding those proper nutritional balances per individual, Susan, what's your take on supplements and how patients that are undergoing cancer treatment should look at the use of supplements?
I think you should minimize your supplement use for a couple of reasons. The first is, if you're using supplements to get a certain amount of nutrients in your body, you're always better off eating real food. There's an author called Michael Pollan, and he's written a number of books, In Defense of Food, The Omnivore's Dilemma, and some other books. But one of the things that he said is eat real food, not too much, mainly of plant form.
Right.
The point there is get your nutrients from food because that's where you get the best bang for the buck, so to speak, in terms of the value of the nutrient. So supplement use, I think, is not a great way to get nutrients. However, so that's number one. So the first reason why I say minimize your supplement use is I think you're better off getting your nutrients through real food. The second reason that I think you should be very careful about supplement use is because many supplements actually interact with your chemotherapy drugs. And so if you are going to use supplements, you should do two things. The first is you should always consult with your medical team and let them know that you are taking supplements, number one. And number two is you should make sure that you check out whether or not there are drug interactions with these supplements. And there's a great database called the Natural Standard Database. It's not available to just anyone who wants to look for it. So if you went to the Natural Standard website, you couldn't get access to the database. But we actually have it on our website, so we pay for it. So you can actually go to our website under Nutrition Resources and look at the Natural Standard Database, and it will tell you what supplements interact with what specific drugs. So it's a great place to go just to make sure, but always communicate with your medical team.
Gotcha.
So those are kind of my two caveats with supplements. Are supplements bad? No, not necessarily. But make sure that you are getting as many of your nutrients and vitamins from real food, and always, always, always communicate with your medical team and make sure that there's no interaction with the supplements. And then you do those two things, then you're probably okay.
You know, Susan, I try to eat good. I can't promise you that I'm always eating the foods that I need to or avoiding the ones that I don't need. But it's a little overwhelming, don't you think, whenever you launch out on this campaign to find out what you're supposed to be eating? There's so much out there, you know, in terms of theories and philosophies on nutrition. What would you suggest the beginning person start? you know, because there's a lot to learn about the body and what it needs and what these foods have in them and what these foods have in them. So where's a good place to start?
Yeah, so there are a couple of books that I think are great. One book is called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy, and it's written by a guy at Harvard named Walter Willett. And he has written a number of books and done a lot of research, and he just has great advice for eating healthy. I think his stuff is really good. That's okay. Probably one of the best books. The other place that I always recommend people go to is the American Institute for Cancer Research. They have a lot of information. They've got recipes. And again, I think it's just a tremendous website. Those would be kind of the two go-to places that I would recommend for information.
Very good.
And I would also, I'm going to add something here,
sure.
An afterthought. The other thing I would say is, avoid any sort of books or diets that offer you kind of a quick cure, fast changeover of your body, because these are probably fad diets and they're probably not based on science. I mean, I'm always gonna say the commonsensical approach to nutrition is really eating this balance of micro macronutrients, eating your food, a balanced source of meals. Think about what your grandparents ate. You know, they weren't eating a lot of processed food. If you just, this is again back to Michael Pollan, one of the things he recommends, that's the other book you should read, anything written by Michael Pollan, In Defense of Food is probably the best one. But one of the things he recommends in this vein of eating like your grandparents ate is, or great-grandparents, depending on what your age is walking around the exterior aisles of the grocery store. That's where you're going to find the produce.
Right.
That's where you're going to find the fresh chicken mm-hmm. and the beef and that. And on the interior aisles of the grocery store are always the processed foods. And so stay away from those.
Yeah, I've read that before. Always shop the perimeter of the store.
Yeah.
Beware of the inside.
My husband,
exactly.
When I am cooking the way I would like to cook for my family, he calls the meals hunter and gatherer meals. It's like if it's found in nature, it's on the plate. If it's not, well, it's not.
Right.
And that's kind of an odd take on it. But I think it's how we were intended to nourish our bodies. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Susan, tell us again about your website. How can people find you? How can they learn more about Meals to Heal and your mission and all that valuable information that you have to offer?
Right, and your services.
Sure. So our website is meals-2, and it's T-O, not the number 2, meals-2-heal.com. And we've got information on the meals we deliver in the 48 continental United States, fresh, not frozen meals. And then we've got a great deal of resources on our website. And there's a tab called Useful Resources. And then we've got important studies that you can read. We've got information on how to manage your side effects, information on specific foods and spices. And then I mentioned the Natural Standard Database. That's actually under Supplements, Herbs, and Botanicals. We also have a dining out guide that's really helpful, and then we have useful links and other resources. So that useful resource section is really great for people who don't necessarily need to have meals delivered to them.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I'm really excited about is we also have a tab here on the website called Nutrition Guide, and if you click on that, you'll find a 34-page free resource. It's a nutrition guide that we worked with Livestrong and the American Institute for Cancer Research on. We started working on that almost a year ago. And it's just an amazing resource that's free, and it's on proper nutrition for the cancer patient. So that is a great, great resource that's free. It's a great thing for patients, but it's also fantastic for the caregivers. So it talks about nutrition during treatment. It talks about physical activity. we talk about supplements. It's a great resource. So I think that's a great place for patients to go, whether you're a patient undergoing current treatment now, or if you want to look at diet and nutrition and physical activity for survivorship and beyond your treatment.
Right.
It's there.
Oh, wow. You have put so much time and energy and resource into what you're doing. I just commend you and all of your people at Meals to Heal for what you're doing to help others when they're faced with this life-changing diagnosis.
Yeah, thank making you. It thank readily you. Accessible because we don't all feel like cooking and that kind of thing either.
I know. I don't know about you, Sharon, but I have learned so much from Susan today.
I have.
It's just been a wonderful time together, and I'm going to dive in and learn some more through some of those powerful resources that you gave us today, Susan. So.
Oh, great. Well, I'm happy to help, and I, you know, it's really our mission, and it's my mission to help patients and caregivers get
we're
better
all,
nutrition.
All of our hearts are going to more the same place. They might be slightly different in what we do, but we're all wanting to make life just a little bit easier and better and fulfilling for those people with cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Susan, let's end the show today by asking you to share with us what we like to call our not just surviving but thriving tidbit of the day. Would you happen to have one for us today?
Well, one of the things that you have mentioned to me just when we were talking kind of offline is those moments of appreciation and kind of living in the moment. And so as I mentioned, this is really a labor of love for me. In the early days, it was not looking like I was going to get Meals to Heal off the ground. And I was working at my house, and I was really bummed out. I thought, this is my dream, and I'm thinking of my friend Eric, and I want to do this in his memory. And I was very teary-eyed. And I looked out the window, and there was this cute puppy. And I'm a big dog person. And I just dropped everything I was doing. I walked outside, and the owner had the dog on a leash. And I just went up to her, and I said, can I pet your puppy? And this little dog, I had tears streaming down my face. And I'm a crier.
And it's okay. We are too.
This cute little golden retriever dog I leaned down, and he put his paws, one on each of my knees, and leaned up and looked my face. Mm. And sometimes you just have to, it made me feel so much better. And it was a great way of saying, it's okay to drop this right now. And there are other things out there, and you've got to appreciate the beautiful things out there. It was a sunny day, and here's this cute little dog.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel so much better. So
just that little lick of encouragement, right?
Exactly.
Just to say, this is going to be okay, honey.
Exactly.
So, well, thank you, Susan, so much for being with us today. And I just can't wait until we're able to be together again.
Likewise, me too.
I think New York City is calling our names in the near future.
I think so too. We'll come up before it gets too cold.
That we'll be up there and just getting together with all our New York friends and being able to collaborate and see what we can do to help others. So, thank
great.
You for being with us again. Again,
you're most
listen.
Welcome.
Again, our listeners, go to heals-2-heal.com and meet Susan and all the wonderful things that she and her folks are doing.
That's right.
So, until next time, guys. Sharon and I are signing off, and we want to encourage you not to just survive, but thrive with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.